じゃな。So dana dana braja janaranjana Jamunatira vanachari Anujai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Astasarata Sri Srimad is Divine Grace of Har Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Tai Gaurabhimanandi All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pradastaya Budare Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Vishesha Shunyavadi Paschatare Shatarini Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Third Canto, Chapter 9, Text Number 19. Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. Tiryan Manusha Vibhudadishu Jiva Jonishu Atmeschayatma Krita Setu Paripshaya Yaha Reme Nirasta Vishayo Api Avara Abarudha Dehas Tasmai Namo Bhagavate Purushottamaya Tirjan Manusha Vibhudadishu Jiva Jonishu Tirjan Manusha Vibhudi Vibhudadishu Jiva Jonishu Admechayatma Kritasetu Paripsayaya Atmechayatna Krita Setu Paripsayaya Reme Nirasta Vishayo Pivarudha Dehas Reme Nirasta Vishayo Pivarudha Dehas Tasmai namo bhagavate purushottamaya Tasmai namo bhagavate purushottamaya Tiryan manushya vibhudadishu jiva jonishu Atmechayatma krita setu paripsayaya Atmechayatma krita setu paripsayaya रेमे निरस्त विषयोप्यवरुद्ध देहस् तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय Tiryan manushya udarishu jiva jonishu Atnichcha yatma krita jetu paripsayaya Reme nirasta vishayapya virudha dehas तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय अदात्मनिश्च विबुद्धिषु जीवजानिषु रेमे निरस्त विषयोप्यवरुद्ध देहस् तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय लेडीज तिर्यन् मनुष्य विबुदादिषु जीवजोनिषु आत्माच्चायत्मकृतसेतु परिप्रयाय रेमे निरस्त विषयाप्यवरुद्ध देहस् तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय Tiryan manushya bhubhadadishu jiva janishu Atmechchayatma krita setu paripsayaya Reme nirasta vishayopya varuddha dehas तस्माय नमो भगवते पुरुषोत्तमाय तिर्याक एनिमल्स लोअर देन ह्यूमन बीइंग्स मनुष्य ह्यूमन बीइंग्स एटसेट्रा विबुद्ध आदिषु अमंगस्ट द डेमिगॉड्स जीवजोनिषु इन डिफरेंट स्पीसीज ऑफ लाइफ Atma, self, it's chaya, by the will. Atma krita, self-created. Setu, obligations. Paripsaya, desiring to preserve. Yahu. Reme. Performing transcendental pastimes. Nirasta. Not being affected. Bishaya. Material contamination. Api. Certainly. Abiruddha. Manifested. Deha. Transcendental body. Tasmai. Unto him. Namaha. My obeisances. Bhagavate. Onto the personality of Godhead. Purushottamaya. The primeval Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupāda ki jai. O my Lord, by Your own will You appear in the various species of living entities, among animals lower than human beings, as well as among the demigods, to perform Your transcendental pastimes. You are not affected by material contamination. You come just to fulfill the obligations of Your own principles of religion. And therefore, O Supreme Personality, I offer my obeisances unto You by manifesting such different forms. Purport. The Lord's incarnations are different species in different species of life, are all transcendental. He appears as a human being in His incarnations of Krishna, Rama, etc. But He is not a human being. Anyone who mistakes Him for an ordinary human being is certainly not very intelligent, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9:11, Avajananti mamudha manushim tanam ashrita. The same principle is applicable when He appears as a hog or fish incarnations. These are transcendental forms of the Lord and are manifested under certain necessities of His own pleasure and pastimes. Such manifestations of the transcendental forms of the Lord are accepted by Him mostly to enliven His devotees. All His incarnations are manifested whenever there is a need to deliver His devotees and maintain His own principles. Om Ajnani Tumirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurvinama. Gamguru Divachalam Pangam Lungayate Girim Yaripadamande Sigurum Dinatanam. Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. So I have to confess that I was actually expecting to read the next verse over. I was expecting to read text number 20. So if there's no objection, I'd like to merge the two verses together and make it a more pleasing class. Text number 20. My Lord, You accept the pleasure of sleeping in the water of devastation where there are violent waves, and You enjoy pleasure on the bed of snakes, showing the happiness of Your sleep is to intelligent persons. At that time, all the universal planets are stationed within Your abdomen. Purport. Persons who cannot think of anything beyond the limit of their own power are like frogs in a well who cannot imagine the length and breadth of the great Pacific Ocean. Such people take it as legendary when they hear that the Supreme Lord is lying on His bed within the great ocean of the universe. They are surprised that one can lie down within water and sleep very happily. But a little intelligence can mitigate this foolish astonishment. There are many living entities within the bed of the ocean who also enjoy the material bodily activities of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. If such insignificant living entities can enjoy life within the water, why can't the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, sleep on the cool body of a serpent and enjoy in the turmoil of violent ocean waves? The distinction of the Lord is that His activities are all transcendental, And he is able to do anything and everything without being deterred by limitations of time and space. He can enjoy his transcendental happiness regardless of material considerations. So in these two verses, Srila Prabhupada is so very nicely pointing out that those who are of less intelligence cannot think beyond their own little political or social climate. And they basically have no thoughts beyond that. They're so consumed by their own limitations that they can't imagine how the Lord can assume all of these transcendental forms and engage in activities which are unaffected by the material energy. Within our own experience, we know that whenever we do something, engage in some activity, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it's covered by some fault. Without a doubt, without any argument, there's some fault. There's some shortcoming. We weren't able to achieve such and such thing, whether it be material sense gratification or mental equanimity. Always there's some shortfall there. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, asyatam apatistam te jagarahu anishvaram. Such persons, because they don't think that that this world is real, that it has any foundation, that it's been produced by some mundane activity. Etam drishtim avastabhya nastatno alpabhudaya. They are lost within themselves, as Prabhupada is pointing out here in this purport. And it's hard for them to think beyond their own limitations. And because of that, whatever they do is unbeneficial and it's horrible. It has some negative effect. Therefore, and as a result of that, they want to project that upon those who are engaged in spiritual work. What to speak of the Supreme Lord when he manifests a beautiful form such as Krishna, Rama, etc., as Prabhupada points out here. They're foolish. Avajananti mamudha. They have no idea how the Lord can manifest such beautiful forms and activities. And as Prabhupada points out here, they're compared to frogs in a well, who cannot imagine the length and breadth of the great Pacific Ocean. Just as a frog is in a teeny little well and it thinks that, well, this is the all in all. So also the conditioned souls are within their tiny little well, their little circle of experience, and it's hard for them to think beyond that. Unfortunately, we're living, especially now, in such a climate where people are really constricted by their political, by their social understandings, their limitations. And to think beyond that, as Prabhupada points out here, they take it as legendary. It's an imagination. It's like sometimes, or it may be some Marvel comic hero, right? That the absolute truth is like some Marvel comic hero, and it's just it's a fantasy. and it's not real. But as Srila Prabhupada points out here, the Lord is described as Urukrama, right? That one who whose activities are glorious, they're marvelous, they're beyond mundane limitations, beyond our senses. And to accept that the Lord can assume these wonderful forms, or that he can even sit on a beautiful bed, a serpent bed, in the ocean is quite fantastic. It's beyond imagination. Therefore, they consider it, it's just some, it's nice flowery language. They're nice fairy tales. And when we hear about the activities of the Lord throughout the Vedic literatures, they're simply meant as allegories. They don't really mean much. You just have to look into it and speculate about the reality of it. But with just a little bit of intelligence, as Prabhupada points out here, with a little bit of intelligence, one can mitigate this foolish astonishment. Because even in the material world, as Prabhupada points out here, there are many living entities within the bed of the ocean who also enjoy the same bodily material activities that we all are enjoying. Just as we're engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, also in the ocean, these things are going on. So it's not beyond our imagination. We can actually perceive that. It can actually be seen how even in the material world, there are certain living entities who within the ocean are engaged in sleeping. Just like recently, we went and did some trip to Florida, and we were doing some diving, and we went by a pier, and it was maybe 15 feet down, and there were two beautiful, nurse sharks. Very beautiful. It's fascinating how above the water, or at the top where the waves are, it can be very rough, right? And very turbulent. Just as here in this example, Prabhupada points out how the Lord is lying on his bed within the great ocean of the universe. They're surprised that he can sleep very happily, because the ocean, we understand, is very turbulent, and the waves can toss one back and forth. But once you get into the water and you dive down, it's a whole different experience. The atmosphere is quite serene. The living entities are very nicely casually gliding back and forth. It's a whole different sphere. And they're enjoying that atmosphere. They can huddle with each other. Two or three were packed together in a crevice, and you could see that they were resting. So they're also sleeping underwater, just like we're sleeping here. They're also enjoying themselves in the water. And they're also eating, as Prabhupada points out here. Just like the whale sharks. The whale sharks are 40 feet long, and they're, what's it called? Filter eaters. They suck in all kinds of water through their mouths, which are huge, and which could swallow a human. They're 40,000 pounds in weight, and some 40 or so feet long. And you can swim alongside them, and they're quite peaceful. They're not disturbed by, but they're engaged in these very same activities. They're quite peaceful. You just have to watch out for the tail fin, because if you get hit by it, it's a problem. But they're eating, they're sleeping, eating. We went and saw some lemon sharks. The lemon sharks are some 10 foot long, and they weigh about 700 pounds. And they have a biting strength of some 1,300 pounds. So they can take a human being, or they can take the bait box. We had a bait box with us, and they could come and crush it easily. They were so powerful with their bite. These milk crates that we have here, they just tore it up. And but still, they're quite peaceful in their own little world. They can float by you and they're or bump into you. I was watching a couple others that were busy floating around, and one came up behind me and bumped me. And it was a whole different atmosphere, a whole different world. But there again, they're eating, sleeping, they're defending. When you go down further at the reef floor, you'll see these colored patches of different assorted colored patches that are along the floor of reef. And when you get closer to it, lo and behold, what it is a nest of eggs of different fish. So they're happily living in their own little world, just as, again, in the material world or out here, we have experienced people are lost within themselves. So those fish, they're also lost within themselves. And when you get close to it, the teeny little fish comes up to you trying to defend, as Prabhupada points out here. They're eating, sleeping, defending, mating. So if something like that can happen within our own experience, what to speak of what the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do? He can also eat, just as Jagannath eats so much every single day in Puri. So many offerings are given to him around the world. So the Supreme Lord can, he's eating very nicely. He's also sleeping, as Prabhupada points out here in this verse, that he can also sleep within that ocean, although it's very turbulent. He can also defend, right? When the Lord can take in his various incarnations, he can appear as Lord Ram or Nrisimhadev or Varaha, the hog, fly in the sky and engage in wonderful transcendental pastimes. So if it can be seen within our own experience, why can't he who is unlimited, and he's also producing, it's like the seahorse, the male seahorse, it blows out from its abdomen, it can blow out